We'd like to welcome you to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. We want to wish everyone out there a happy Mother's Day. And we'd like you to come and join us on May 20th for our next community meal. This is open to all our community free of charge. We are having lasagna, garlic bread, and brownies. So please come and join us again at 333 South Chestnut Street, Seymour, from 5 to 7 p.m. for good food and fellowship. And we would like to thank Mark and Kathy Smallwood for sponsoring our radio today in honor of all mothers. And our scripture reading today is John 14, chapters 15 through 21. That is on page 1068 in your pew Bible if you would like to read along. Jesus promises His Holy Spirit, "If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too love him and show myself to him." And now we will have our sermon by Pastor Angel Armstrong, always with us.
I'd like to introduce crew, Mark Smallwood and Jimmy Passenberger, and they are going to sing My Mother's Bible.
Yes. Yes, yes, and we may have had actually fight to be the ones singing today, and I'll tell you, but we thought we would be the perfect addition, because Mark and I both know that we have the voices that only a mother could love.
That's true.
That's true. And our song today is for all the mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers out there today, the mothers who have had their own children, the mothers who give a darn about children that aren't their own and raise them anyway, foster mothers, the mothers who are no longer here, the mothers who are here. I think that just about covers it. But our song is called My Mother's Bible. I can't think of any other way to explain this except it's a true story. I knew there was a book in the back of my truck, in the bed of my truck. And I thought, well, I'm going to go check it out as we sing this song today. And I picked it up and it looks like this. And it kind of fits with some of the words about the Bible being old and worn. And I looked on the front cover and I thought, I wonder who this belonged to. Probably nobody I know. It said Beverly Becker. Well, that's my mom's maiden name. So I thought I would bring this as a little bit of a prop today, as a little bit of an artifact of my mother's Bible. And Mark and I looked this song over. We thought it would be perfect today, except Mark said, "Hey, Jimmy, did you check the second verse out?" I said, "What?" He said, "It's Mother's Day, and the second verse is all about singing to," there were a bunch of men mentioned, great men in the Bible, no less. But I said, "Well, Mark, let's get together and we do that verse too, because we've done that a couple times before." And so we've made it more Mother's Day friendly, the second verse.
Yeah, I just want to say there's been many times when we've joked around about my singing and the pain that it brings. But my mom's in heaven. And I'm sure my singing might make her wince a little bit. But I think at the very end of it, she'd be very proud.
So she sure would.
So yep. It's my mother's Bible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Lois June.
Yes.
Lois June. She was great. She sang the choir. Soprano voice. Great lady.
There's a dear and precious book, though it's worn and faded now, which reads recalls those happy days of long ago, when I stood at Mother's knee with her hand upon my brow, and I heard her voice in gentle tones and low. Blessed book, precious book, on thy dear old tear-stained leaves I long to look. Thou art sweeter day by day as I walk the narrow way that leads at last to that bright home above. As she read the stories o'er of those great women of old, of Martha, Ruth, and Rachel and their ways. Holy Mary, oh so brave, and oh so much she gave, all so dear to us in all their living days. Blessed book, precious book, on thy dear old tear-stained leaves I long to look. Thou art sweeter day by day as I walk the narrow way that leads at last to that bright home above. Then she read of Jesus' love, how he blessed the children dear, how he suffered, bled, and died upon the tree. Of his heavy load of care, then she dried my flowing tears with her kisses as she said it was for me. Blessed book, precious book, on thy dear old tear-stained leaves I love to look. Thou art sweeter day by day as I walk the narrow way that leads at last to that bright home above. Well, those days are lost and gone, but their memory lingers on, and the dear old book each day has been my guide. And I seek to do his will as my mother taught me then, and ever in my heart his words abide. Blessed book, precious book, on thy dear old tear-stained leaves I love to look. Thou art sweeter day by day as I walk the narrow way that leads at last to that bright home above.
Happy Mother's Day.
I want to tell you guys that I know the hearts of both of these men, and I know how much they love, respect, and admire their mothers. I also know that both of their mothers poured into them, making them who they are today. And I thank God for who both of they are today. You know, I've always been intrigued by Susanna Wesley. At one point when I was in seminary, I could have had all of the rest of my education paid for if I switched over to the Disciples of Christ. Nothing wrong with that branch of Protestantism. But I remember at that time I reread the letters between Susanna Wesley and her son John. And I could see the Holy Spirit pouring forth from them. He ended up becoming a great preacher and missionary. She spent time. She had 13 children total. A couple of them died along the way. She raised her children, cared for her home, educated her children. But the most important thing she did was she spent 1 hour a week alone with each one of her children, reading the Bible and pouring into them. In my opinion, when I read her writings, there never lived a greater theologian. And I believe that all of us can remember a time where our mother or a spiritual mother has poured into our lives. The greatest work that I can say that I've ever done is not raising up 3 youth groups. It's not any of the churches that I've ever pastored. It's not even the beautiful 4 children that God loaned to me to learn from, to protect, and to teach. You do know, moms, your greatest ministry is the children that you have given to our world. But I honestly believe, for me, it was a therapeutic foster home that I worked at long ago in Marion, Indiana. In the 6 years that I worked there, 500 broken souls came through. Children who suffered the worst cases of abuse in our state. Children locked in a suitcase for 72 hours. Children that their mother had poked their eye out with a pencil. Horrible, horrible cases of abuse. I prayed consistently that I be able to come alongside of these children, and my greatest prayer was that I could give them something that nobody could take away from them, the Holy Spirit. Today's message focuses a lot on Jesus saying, I will not leave you orphaned. I will not leave you. I will not abandon you. These kids had been abandoned, rejected, abused. And they received one thing. Something that nobody could take away from them. The love of Jesus Christ. That love heals. That love changes people. Today, things happen in our country that break my heart. There are children shooting up schools because they're so desperate to be seen. They know they're going to die too. But they are so desperate to be seen. There are children that have grown up in bad situations, and some of them have turned out wonderfully, and some of them are broken. None of us are broken beyond repair. The Holy Spirit can change our lives. The Holy Spirit can love and pour into us like the mother that we never had. There's a story about a slave who lived 150 years ago, ended up being one of the greatest preachers of his time and songwriters. He sat on the doorstep before he poured forth into all the children sitting out in front of him who were gathered there for Sunday school, and he sang this song of lament, a mournful, deep song whose words gave expression to the pain of having been taken from home, separated by family, and subjected to slavery. With hurt and longing, you heard him sing, sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child a long way from home. Sometimes I feel like I'm almost gone. Sometimes I feel like I'm almost gone, way up in the heavenly land. He knew what it was like to feel abandoned, rejected, not cared for. And he wanted to pour into all of the children sitting in front of him the love of God, because it can indeed heal. It can indeed change and shape young minds. I'll never forget the first church that I went to. I was in my early 30s. And you know when they say that you're afraid the roof's going to fall in? I had heard that saying before, and I really was a little worried about it. A friend of mine had asked me to church. He said, there's a young preacher, and he preaches recovery principles. I really think you'd like to go. And I swear, I said no. And he looked at me and said, good, what time shall I pick you up? We've talked about that since then. It absolutely floored me. But do you know that that young preacher and the senior pastor there, who is now my mentor, absolutely positively changed my life? I was a divorced, single mother of four kids, and I was a recovering alcoholic. And they let me teach and run the youth group. Now, I worked for Family Services. They had done all their background checks and everything. But for me personally, the fact that they trusted me, the fact that they believed in me, changed my life. There's a story about a young, wet behind the ears baseball player who had come up from the minor leagues into the big leagues, sitting in the dugout, and across from him was one of the greatest pitchers that ever lived, the Cardinals, Bob Gibson. He was shaken. When it was his turn to get up there and bat, he nervously swung a few practice pitches. And next thing he knew, boom, two fastballs had crossed the plate. He hadn't even had a chance to even swing at the ball. He hung his head low, and he marched back to the dugout. And the manager started calling out, what are you doing? What are you doing, kid? You got one pitch left. And he says, I've seen what he got. I don't want to see no more. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt outmatched by life? Have you ever felt that no matter how hard you tried, it wouldn't do you any good whatsoever? I know that I have. Despair, despondency, feeling as if nothing is going to work. The rookie said, let him have it. I've seen enough. I'm here to tell you that there is good news today. And the good news is that we have a Savior, a resurrected Christ. We have someone who loves us, who will never leave us, who will never forsake us, who will never abandon us. Today's scripture says that Jesus Christ told his disciples, and through the reading of the word, tells us, his disciples today, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not abandon you. I don't know about you, but I can make it through almost anything in life. We all can make it through anything in life if we do not feel alone, if we do not feel abandoned. And the greatest gift that we could ever receive is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that guides us, that comforts us, that teaches us, that loves us and protects us. Orphans. That's not a word that we hear very often anymore. I know some of you folks in the church can remember having gone to an orphanage to do ministry, bringing cookies, bringing lemonade, playing games with the kids. Sadly, today, there really aren't orphanages around here. Our kids grow up being shuffled from foster home to foster home, and I know how that feels. I was raised in 22 different foster homes. You never know who you are and what you are. You don't know who stands for you, who's against you, and we wonder why our world is crumbling. You, beloved, have something this world needs. You have the saving, changing, shaping love of Jesus Christ. And all you have to do is to walk beside people who are hurting. Something as simple as smiling at somebody in the grocery store, letting them go ahead of you, coming alongside of somebody who is hurting. And eventually, maybe someday, they'll ask you why you believe what you believe. And you can tell them how Jesus Christ came alongside of you. There are thousands and millions of orphans in this world. Do you all remember several years back, the China Sea 2 tsunami was huge. It left behind 1.5 million orphans. That's just one tragedy. There have been thousands of tragedies since then. There are tornadoes, there are fires, there are earthquakes, and there is one of the greatest tragedies that there is in the United States, drugs and alcohol. And even if those children are not completely orphaned and abandoned by their parents, the parents are not physically, mentally, and emotionally present with their children. And that makes for hurt and damaged people who grow up and hurt and damage other people. There are so many people in this world that feel alone. From the 55-year-old factory worker who's been laid off, who no longer has a job, whose skills are not useful, who's living off of his pension that will run out soon, to the 80-year-old woman who, after being married for 38 years, is alone, who sits in front of the television day in and day out with cold TV dinner, wondering why she feels so alone. There are children who run these streets. There are what we call latchkey children, children who come home as young as first grade, and they are alone and being raised by the television set. Our world is a place desperately in need of the love of Jesus Christ. What about all of those who are ravaged by AIDS? They've shamed their families just by having the disease. Whether they did anything to cause it or not is a mute point. They lay alone and dying and in pain. Who's going to tell them, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not abandon you. What about the teenager who feels so different from all the rest? The wife or the husband who's been left by their spouse, or the businessman whose business has just crumbled underneath him. All of them, like that rookie facing Bob Gibson, feel outmatched by life. They feel alone. They feel like no matter what they do, it will not change their circumstances. In today's gospel reading, Jesus sits with the disciples in the upper room, preparing them for when he leaves. One disciple leaves early, and that disciple's betrayal is more painful than anything we can imagine. And another disciple is predicted to abandon him yet. And all of them will face the looming cross that is before them. And to all of them he says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not abandon you. Listen to the gospel reading again. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you in just a little while. The world will not see me again, but you will. For I will live again, and you will too. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor who will never leave you, a counselor who is the Holy Spirit. Jesus promises to send us a comforter, a guide, someone who lives within us so that we never have to feel alone. And beloved, you, for another, your neighbor, someone in the grocery store, someone that you sit and talk to during our community meals, You for another are proof of Jesus' love in their lives. I will not leave you. I will not abandon you. I will not forsake you. The Holy Spirit sends us forth as His messengers to love the poor, the unemployed, the young, the elderly, the sick, the rejected, and the dying. One of the themes that dominate this passage of Scripture is Jesus' telling them in verse 15, "If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor who will never leave you." He promises us the Holy Spirit. One could easily make the case that where there is no love, there is no comfort. But Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. One of the things that we struggle with are the 12 inches between head and heart. So many of us know the Word of God. Many of you know this word far better than I do. I remember in seminary when I couldn't pronounce something, they would tell me, just say it loud and with authority. They'll never know the difference. And I was like, there's a whole lot of them there that know the word a lot better than what I do. But in this hardened world, we let the 12 inches between brain and heart harden us. We know the word of God. But do we enact it? Do we show love to the least of these? Do we show love to that teenager that's so different? Do we represent Christ Jesus in our world? When was the last time you felt the Holy Spirit really move you? Whether it be in a church service or whether it be elsewhere. I sat here a couple of weeks ago and four strangers had walked in. And I looked up and I saw the woman crying and I knew. That spirit crying. And I knew that the spirit had touched her. So I asked her to call me after the service. And she did. And I asked her if she was doing okay. If there was anything she needed to talk about. And she said no. I had been talking to my twins before we came in and they did not want to come in. They didn't want to go to a strange church where they didn't know anybody. People might stare at them. People might treat them differently. And I do not remember what I was preaching about that day. But she talked about the fact that in the message I had mentioned somebody feeling like they were on the outside. And them being included by Jesus. And I had also shared an experience that I had had entering into a church a long time ago. She said she felt loved and welcomed here. And in the midst of the service, she began to cry because she realized the Holy Spirit had sent her here. I'd love to have them come back. They live in Madison and had come to visit his mother. But that spoke loudly to me. I remember that first day that I walked into that church. I remember sitting with my friend. You see, I didn't know anything about God. I didn't have a personal relationship with Him. I knew that Jesus was born in the manger and died upon the cross. You see those symbols everywhere. I did not know that He rose again and that He was the Son of God. I was 31 years old and I did not know that. When I started taking these kids from First Place through the walkway of lights in Marion, there was the most beautiful manger scene that I've ever seen in any city. You don't know how many of those kids didn't know anything about Jesus Christ. They did not know that God's Son was born to us for our salvation, for forgiveness of sins. That first day that I walked into that church, The Holy Spirit began hitting me upside the head. I call them frying pan moments. I remember sitting with a friend of mine